Good evening, young disciples. Good evening, young disciples. Much better. I want to thank each one of you who came up and helped with the song service tonight and the extra people who helped play their instruments. That was very nice. Did you enjoy the friendship feast?
Yes, sir.
Wasn't that fantastic? I just loved it. And I'm not going to do the stand-up activity because we're running a little bit late, but I want to share one thing with you. By one count, the Bible contains 7,487 promises that God made to man. Can you believe that? By one person's count, could be there's much more, or possibly a few less, but the Bible has 7,000, according to this person, 487 promises God made to man. Isn't that incredible? Can you say amen to that? God has so much more to offer to us than we will in this life ever be able to take advantage of. But don't be ashamed to ask. He's there because he wants to bless. I would like to invite our evening person who's going to give our evening prayer forward. That would be Justin DeLuca. And Justin, please come on forward. And let us all kneel together as we come before the Lord.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful week that we've had at YD. And please be with the speaker this evening, Mr. Roberts. And please give him the words to speak. And thank you for the friendship feast. And just please bless us as the night continues. In your name, amen.
It's time to do what? Sharpen your minds. So let's see those Bible memory cards. Uh-oh. Let's see them. Hold them high. What happened, young disciples? Oh, dear. All right, well, I guess what that means is really good news. That means that you know it all completely. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to call up a few groups. And, you know, my mom actually is supposed to be doing this, but she's not feeling well. She has that cold, whatever it is, that a couple people have come down with, so she asked me to do the Bible memory tonight. So anyway, we're going to go ahead, and I'd like those who have been to YD camp before, at least not one, but two times, to come forward. Two times or more. All the YD camp veterans, come forward. All right, I'd like you to repeat verses 4 and 5. Starts with behold. All right, thank you very much. You may go back to your seats. And I would like all the girls that are planning to be here for Missions Music Camp to come forward and share with us. Just the ones that are planning to be here for Missions Music Camp. That looks like almost maybe more than half. Wow, praise the Lord. Okay, Missions Music Camp, ladies, would you please share with us verses 6 and 7? It starts... That deserves a hearty amen.
Amen.
You may go back to your seats. Thank you. The Missions Music Camp ladies seem to be very good memorizers. Now, the next group is going to be all the guys that plan to come to Missions Music Camp. Come on forward. All the guys that are staying for next week. I'm expecting that you too are excellent memorizers. Let your voices be heard. Okay, verses 8. Are you ready? Verses 8 and 9. For my... That deserves a hearty amen, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Going back to your seats. All right. We're going to do one more group here tonight. Everyone who was at the GC, meetings this year, come on forward. The general conference meetings. If you were at GC at all, come on forward. This is a great group. And we would like to add to this group those who would like to go on YD's next mission experience. Okay, we're going to add to this group those who would like to go on YD's next mission experience.
I want to go, but I'm not 15. Do I need to
go? Go ahead. Go ahead.
All righty. What a fantastic group. I love it. Oh, a bunch of last-minute decisions here. Yeah, that maybe they said they would like to, right? Okay, so they would like to. Oh, okay. Welcome. All right, and this fantastic group is going to be sharing with us verses 10 through 13, and it begins, "For as..." Okay, wait, stop. This is Babylon. This is not good. Okay. This is confusion. Okay. We're gonna organize. We need to get together. Listen to the people around you and just sink in. Don't do your own little thing. Sorry about the smoke. You can move to the side a little bit. Let's do it all together. It sounds so nice to hear it together. Okay, starting in verse 10. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow..."
Thank you.
And the congregation said,
amen.
Okay, amen. Please be seated. Okay, find your seats. There are three more verses that we need to know in this chapter. Three more verses. And which verses are those? Now, you already pretty much know these verses, don't you?
Yes, sir.
But there's a couple differences between the song and between the words as they are exactly recorded in the Bible. In verse 1, well, the verse 1's the same. It's not? What's the difference in verse 1? Ah, there's something added in it, isn't there? Okay, verse 2 is the same, right? No, somebody raise your hand and tell me what the difference is. Yes. Okay. All right, so there's two parts to it. Is that what you're saying? All right. What else? Anyone notice the fine detail, Rachel? Your. That's right. There's an extra your. Wherefore do you spend money, not your money? The Bible says, well, it's not missing. Okay, it was added in the song, right? Okay. Wherefore do you spend money? And hearken diligently, what? Unto me, not to me. A few fine differences in verse 3. Who picked up what else is different in verse 3? The last part. Okay, so let's just pay attention to those things as we read together verses 1, 2, 3. I'd like to ask everyone to please read it, unless you really, really know you've memorized it perfectly, because otherwise you might say it like the song and miss those little detailed changes that are so important. Okay, all together. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Did I say it wrong? See, there's a reason why I don't do this, you know. Okay, let's do verse 2 again, and I'll read it carefully. Okay, everyone together. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Because we know this pretty well, well, I think some of you know it word for word already, and the rest of us are pretty close, but I would like us to go ahead and see if we can do it with the initials. Do you think you're ready to do it with the initials?
Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you can't do it with initials, you can still use the front, but the rest of us are going to flip it over and use the back, okay? Verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. When you, sorry, just stop for a sec. When you're memorizing, do you think about what it is that you're memorizing? Did you know that you can memorize a lot faster if you understand what it is that you're memorizing? Had you ever thought about that? It's really an important thing. And also, if you have a hard time memorizing, one thing that can help is if you write it out. Try it sometime. Let's move on to verse 2. With the back. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Okay, verse 3. We're going to move on to verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Okay, now let's do verses 1 through 3 together, again using the initials, or if you can break away with them a little bit, go ahead and break away from it. All the way from the beginning. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We're not going to spend a lot more time going, or any more time going over it together as a group tonight, but I'd like to ask that you as individuals or as units spend a little bit of time finalizing those last three verses, and then we'll be sharing those together as a group at church tomorrow from memory, and some of you will also be sharing that the whole passage at your outreach groups. So it's now time for Mr. Mark Roberts, Pastor Mark Roberts, to come forward, but I don't... Oh, there he is. Pastor Roberts. Fact. I forgot to get a fact for Pastor Roberts tonight. Okay, here's a fact. A random fact. Actually, it's about Pastor Roberts, but his wife is American. Okay, that's the fact about Pastor Roberts. He has an American... Is she still American?
Yeah.
Okay, American wife.
Yeah, she still has her American passport. She hasn't got an Australian one yet, though we're working on it. Okay, good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sir.
Only one more night of that, and I'll just... I wonder if I can record that and take it home and play it on my iPod. Okay. Did you all have a good feast tonight?
Yes, sir.
We all got to sit next to someone new tonight, didn't we?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a question. This week, how many of you have made a new friend? Everybody? Everybody here has made at least one new friend. That's good. Okay, thank you. Because, you know, one of the things... Thank you, boys. One of the things that makes YD Camp so special isn't just the wonderful classes you do. It's not just the wonderful environment you're in. It's not just the wonderful meetings you get and the wonderful opportunities to have fun. It's the ability to find and make good Christian friends. So often in our lives, we are influenced by other people. People that are our friends and we like to do things that they do. We like to be accepted. We like to be part of what everyone else says we should do. But when you are surrounded by good Christian friends, they know where you're going. They understand when you want to step out in faith and put your money into a mission trip. They understand when you don't want to follow the lucrative career and you decide to follow your calling before God. They understand when you don't want the drugs and alcohol and all the wild life and you want to live a holy life for God, to be a representative, to develop a character that will prepare you for heaven. That's what good Christian friends will do and be for you. When you're having a hard day and you're feeling like things aren't going well, they're going to be the ones that will come and talk to you. And you know, young people, they don't have to be your age. You can be friends with old people like me. Okay, thank you. Okay, you've all become my new friends. Okay, just now. But friendship is really important. Because, you know, sometimes as leaders, you might think that the parents, like mum and dad, are always telling me what to do and what not to do. They're always the negative ones, the wet blanket. But, you know, sometimes mum and dad are really burdened by everything that they have to do. Not only do they have to look after you, and they've looked after you since they changed your nappies when you were a baby, but now they are looking out for you and for your future. But they're burdened by it. And sometimes our parents and our teachers and our pastors and our leaders are burdened. You know, last year, or every year, we have a school we run down in Australia. We've been running it. I was working with a school up the North Coast for 6 years, and then I was working with a school in Sydney for a couple of years. And we have students come in. And, you know, the students come in and they do their classes and they do all the things that they do. They do their Bible work. We send them out in the field. And they all enjoy it and we get to know them, and that's all really great. But, you know, every year, almost every year, you get some students that not only come to gain what they can from life and from the education that they're getting, but they also look out for people around them. Some of them watch out for the other people in their group, the other students, and they notice when somebody doesn't have lots of friends, and they make friends with that person. Sometimes they'll watch us as staff. Last year we had a young fellow that he used to come into my office all the time just to say hello, and sometimes he'd ask me really crazy questions, and I think, what on earth are you asking me this question for? But he'd come in and ask me seemingly simple questions. But I realized after a while that he just was making an excuse to come in and talk to us. And so one day we were talking, he'd ring me up as he was out doing his Bible work and so forth. And one day we used to talk on the phone, and I asked him a little bit about why he was doing it, why he was coming and, quote, bothering me. And he said, you know, my father was a pastor, and I noticed often that my father used to get lonely. That he was so busy doing things for other people that he didn't always have people who were there for him. And he was often lonely. And he said, I've watched you, and I see that you're very busy, and I just thought you might like someone to be your friend. And I can tell you now that I had never in my entire life had someone do that for me. And he was half my age. You don't have to be the same age as someone to be an impact in their life. And you know, one of the things that we often look at when we're doing God's work is how do we do it? And there are two things we really need in God's work. And one of them is fellowship, friendship, support from one another. It's good to have around you people that believe what you believe, that love what you love, that have a mission and a vision and a focus and a purpose. So make sure that you provide that for each other. But tonight, I want to consider one other thing. Not just friendship. Because underneath that has to still come your faith. And this week we've been looking at the fact that the Christian walk, the Christian life, what kind of race is it? It's a marathon. Every day you must make that decision to serve Jesus Christ, to give your life to Him. Now, your memory verse for this week, or your memory verses, your memory chapter, starts with a verse. What does the first verse say? Okay. Ye that have lots of money. Is that what it says? ye that has no money. Now, how can you buy something when you have no money? Without stealing it. You know, we're wanting to do maintain good moral character here. So how can you buy something without money? Yes, Sarah. It's free, it's a gift. Okay, well, that could be true, but that's not really buying it. He says, come and buy it without money. John. With a credit card. Okay, that was what Mr. Kim's going to do for that window, isn't he? When you all break it. Okay, over here, green shirt. When someone buys it for you. Now, that's a better answer, isn't it? So I can't afford to buy it, but maybe I have a friend who will buy it for me. Sometimes our friends bail us out, don't they? Sometimes our friends say, you know, Mark, you really need this. I'll get it for you. And so they buy it for me. But you know, you have a friend who wants to buy things for you. Things that you can't afford. Things that you could never get. Things that you could never accomplish. A few years ago when I got out of college, we went back to Australia and we started up an evangelism ministry in the city of Sydney. And we were very earnest, and there was four of us that had finished college together. It was me and my wife and Lyle Southwell, very dear friend of mine, and his wife, Michelle. And the four of us, we were working together, and we were really, really poor. We had just come out of college, and we had this idea that God would rain money down on us because we were good people. And we were doing his work. We were out doing evangelism and Bible work, and we thought God would rain money on us, but he didn't. And so we all lived in this little tiny house together, and we lived up on the top of a hill. And that was good because sometimes we ran out of fuel for our car. And so we knew that there were people down in the valley who, if we got to them, they might loan us some money. So we would push the car over to the road at the top of Bowen Mountain, and we knew once we got there, we could roll all the way down to North Richmond. And so we would do that. We just have to pray that there was no one coming across the crossroads as we went through. And so we would do this all the time. And then we decided that we needed to run a big campaign. We needed to run an evangelistic campaign. So we wanted to work in the Macquarie University area of Sydney, which is over in the north side. So we'd been praying for a few months about what we should do, and we went down there and we contacted the university. We organized to rent a large lecture theater, which seated about 500 people. And we organized with a printer. We designed some flyers that we got some flyers from someone else. We adapted them. And we sent them to a place to get printed. We were going to print, I think, about 60 or 70,000 of them. And we were going to then letterbox them around the area. So we were planning all the things. We organized a speaker to come out and help us because we were only young and we didn't want to do the whole thing by ourselves. So we invited one of our teachers from college to come out. So we organized for him to come. And we booked everything up and it was all going ahead. And then the Thursday before the campaign started, the speaker arrived from America. And we picked him up at the airport and brought him up to our little house. And he was chatting to us about the program, and we told him how we'd organized the venue, and we'd organized the printing had all gone out, and we'd letterboxed for two solid weeks, and got all the brochures out. And he said to us, he said, okay, how's your finances going? How's your money raising going? And we said, oh, well, not so good. He said, how much money have you raised? And we said, oh, well, not really a lot. He said, how much money do you have in the bank? We said, oh, about $5. And he said, what? You only have $5? He said, if I had known you only had $5, I wouldn't have come all this way. How are you going to pay for my airfare? How are you going to pay for the campaign? How are you gonna... This is... And he was so upset. We said, hang on, it's all right. We believe God wants us to do this campaign. We believe that God has called us to do this work. We trust that he'll work it out. Don't worry about it. And he's like, oh, you young boys, you know, rah, rah, rah. So he said, okay, let's do it. He got on board. We went and did the campaign. We had all the people come along. The campaign went every night. My wife, Shelley, would run the children's meetings, and Michelle would run the registration, and Lyle and I would run back and forwards and do everything else. And the campaign worked. And we ended up with 30 decisions for baptism at the end. And then when we were getting ready to put this man back on the plane after the campaign was over, he said to us, he said, okay, boys, how's your finances looking? And we said, well, at the beginning of the month, we had $22,000 worth of bills to pay for all the airfares, renting of the big theater, advertising, all the PA systems, all the things that we had to use. And we said to him, we have paid every single one of those bills. And he said, how much money do you have in the bank? And we said, $5. And you know, after that, we never ever ran a campaign so destitute than that. After that, the Lord provided money often before we ran the campaigns. But we recognized, as we look back in our experience, that that campaign was probably the most exciting for us, the most challenging for us, but yet the most rewarding for us. Because we stepped out in faith. We just believed. We were young enough and naive enough to do it without money. And the Bible says, come buy without money. We need to be able to step off the regular running mill. You know, this thing that everybody's on, saying, no, you can't do that because we don't have money. You can't do that because we don't have money. Forget money. Young people, if God has called you to do something for Him, and if this week, as you have been here, learning about how to not just live outdoors, but to reach out to the people in your community, as you've been learning about having a vision for soul winning, for winning people for Jesus, don't stop to consider, how will we afford it? How will we do it? If you are like that, if the Israelites had been like that, they would never have gotten through the Red Sea. They would never have conquered Canaan. They would never have done anything. You young people have the opportunity. I wish when I was your age that someone had challenged me the way I now can challenge you. God is calling you to do something for Him. Don't worry about how it will be accomplished. Just do it. Just say, yes, Lord, I'm going to make that my life work. That is what I'm going to do. And I am going to get down on my knees and pray when we need something. And I'm going to get down on my knees and pray when we're about to do it. And I'm going to get down on my knees and pray when we've just done it. You know, at that first campaign we ran, we had to pray for everything, including our own food. We had basically no food because we had only $5, and everything we had was going into the work. But you know, friends, our rent was always paid. We always had food. Sometimes it was just potatoes, but it was food. And then the next day, someone would be impressed to bring us vegetables from their garden. We had a man that we came in through that campaign, and he didn't like to pay money to the church, so he would bring us vegetables from his garden. And so we were always, and he had a big garden, he had 25 acres. So he was always bringing lots of produce for us. So, you know, the Lord always looked out for us. And I want to tell you tonight, we've looked at Moses. We've looked at Abraham. We've looked at Noah. We could look at so many other people who down through the ages have stepped out in faith. They've gone because God called them. Tonight, God is calling you. Tonight, God is saying, my sons, my daughters, I have a place for you, a special place for you, just for you. No one else can fill it. Caleb can't fill TJ's shoes. TJ can't fill Seth's shoes. And Seth can't fill Peter's shoes. Each one of these young men must fill their own. You can't look around at what everybody else is doing. And you can't wait for everybody to approve what you're doing. You get on your knees before God and you say, God, I'll do whatever you tell me. Just show me, day by day, what you would have me to do. You know, young people, I want you to finish tonight by looking at Hebrews chapter 12. where we started almost a week ago. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of what? Witnesses." All these men and women of old, down through the ages, who have stepped out in faith, given their lives in service to Jesus Christ, these people are our witnesses that we look at. They shine upon us and we see the way. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We have a race to run, and every single one of us has an individual race to run. Your own things to deal with, your own weights to lay aside, your own sins to forsake. Stop worrying about what everybody else in the church is doing and get close to Jesus for yourself. Verse 2, the Bible says, "Looking unto Mr. Kim, the author and finisher of our faith." When you're doing your exercises and your line calls, who do you look to? Now, all those who are in the marching today, if Mr. Kim says to turn, what do you do? If Mr. Kim says to stop, what do you do? If Mr. Kim says to do all those funny other turns and things that you do, what do? You do them, don't you? And yet it's quite easy once you get started, isn't it? And here the Bible says, just that same way, we need to be in our race for God like the soldiers in Mr. Kim's marching class, ready to hear any sound that comes from his voice. When Jesus says stop, what do we do? When Jesus says turn, what do we do? When he says go forward, what do we do? See, friends, this is the Christian life. It's about surrendering who I am and accepting Jesus as the one that is Lord and Master. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, the author and the finisher, the beginner and the ender. He's the one that comes to you now as you're sitting here tonight and says, "I can give you the experience of faith." And at the end of your life, when you're ready to pass onto the sea of glass, he says, "I can now bring you to that sea of glass before my throne and crown you with a crown of life for eternity." You see, young people, we must get our focus right if we are going to be successful. We can't look at each other. We can't look at the leaders and say, "Well, look at what they do, so therefore I'm going to go and do all these bad things." We look to Jesus. He is our only example, our only leader. And so I want to finish tonight on two things. One, be friends to each other. When you leave here, you will go back to, for many of you, to places where you're on your own. You need to keep in touch. You need to communicate. You need to write and share and support one another. Friendship is important. But individually, you need to learn to look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. During this week, you've learnt about how to do that in your devotions, in your unit worships, in your study and sharing time. This is about looking to Jesus. Young people, I just want to emphasize again and again the wonderful opportunity you have to give your lives in service when you're young. While you have energy, enthusiasm, while you have the ability to do things that once we get older, we just can't do anymore. But tonight I want to ask a special question. I want you to think very carefully. I would like to know if there is anyone here who this week has made a decision. They feel that this week they have come face to face with Jesus in a way that perhaps they've never done before. Perhaps they're now looking to Jesus. Perhaps this week you came here and you weren't really sure about whether you wanted to be a Christian. Maybe you were thinking, yes, I enjoy camp, I enjoy YD, but when I go back to my own home, I'm going to go back to the old ways. But now that you've been here, you're convicted in your heart. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you saying, my son, my daughter, I want you to go all the way. I want you to give me your heart. I want you to give me your life. I want you to be mine. I'll give you everything. I've given everything. Young people, there might be some of you here tonight recognizing the call of Jesus on your life that you would like to take a stand and say, yes, Jesus, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life and I want to serve you. If that is your decision from this week, if that's what you would like to do with your life, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you as you have fellowshipped and studied here at YD this week, then I'd like to ask you to stand up. Praise the Lord. Young people, we live in tremendous times. In the book of Hebrews, we read about Moses who gave up all to serve Jesus. We read about how Moses was willing to forsake everything in the world to follow a calling with the slaves. And I want to encourage every one of you, especially those of you that have taken the stand tonight. And I just want to praise God for each one of your decisions. That this is the beginning of something wonderful. This is the beginning of what God is going to do through you young people that He's been wanting to do for generations. And I'm excited. I'm excited to know that there is a generation of young people coming through who are ready at such a young age to say, Jesus, you're number one in my life. Jesus, you are all to me, and I'm going to serve you with everything that I've got. Let us pray. Father in heaven, tonight, I thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us. I thank you that though we have nothing to offer you, you have given of your own Son, the greatest gift heaven could offer. You poured it all out to us. We so often spit at you and turn aside from you and cast dirt in your face. But Father, tonight I am so thankful that these young people standing here before you have decided to give you their whole heart. They have decided, Father, at the promptings of your Holy Spirit, as you have drawn them to yourself, to give their lives in service for you. Father, I just am so thankful for their decision. To know that there are young people like this, Father, is such a privilege, is such a blessing. Please, Lord Jesus, be close to them. Send your angels to be around them as a mighty wall, that they might each one be protected. Lay a burden upon their little hearts as they're thinking about where they want to go in life. And those that are older, that are at the age where they can now make decisions, Father, direct them clearly and guide them. And one day soon, when Jesus returns, may each one of them be there. Because, Father, we know that no one goes to heaven alone. And each one of these young people is going to have souls that they have won for your kingdom through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, bless them and strengthen them. And with the rest of us, confirm us in our decisions. Help us, Father, to recommit ourselves to you each day. And may we all be faithful and support one another as we seek to run this Christian life, we pray. Until Jesus comes to take us home, we say in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Lights Out Tonight will be at 9:15. They give you a little time to prepare for a rest tonight. As I watch you all stand up for a calling this evening, we all know a tradition that tomorrow evening we will be having a special time to share our testimonies. As I mentioned earlier, before the meal, after the meal, that we are entering a very special time. So let's remember, keep this day in a such way that we can bring honor and glory to God. Remember that I have an influence, whether I know it or not. The people around me will be influenced by me. I pray that each one of us will make that positive impact to my unit members and to the camp. All right. Anything else? That's it. Okay. Thank you. Yes, I just want to reemphasize again, even though there will not be any official inspection tomorrow morning, we know this is a special day. We want to make sure our tents are clean and organized so that holy angels will rejoice to walk through your tent. It will not be a head counselor's going through. But let's keep our place and our minds and our thoughts in a way that God will be honored.